Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, I'm going to get myself situated. All right. Well, maybe I am. All right. So during worship, I was just worshiping the Lord, and this kind of goes along with my message, but I believe it's a prophetic word for maybe several people, maybe only one person. Sometimes in life, we get to a place of barrenness. Life just feels empty and dark, and Hannah, as we know, she wanted a son, but it wasn't happening. And she cried out to the Lord, and you know the story. And eventually she ended up having Samuel. And she committed him, of course, to the Lord. Prior to, she says, if I have a baby, he'll be yours. He's all yours. Okay. That's the story. But the impression I got this morning is there's perhaps dreams, there's visions that you have had that God has given you, dreams as in desires, maybe even dreams you've had prophetic dreams and they just haven't come to pass. And so it looks dark and barren. And like in the womb, the natural womb, it's dark until what? The seed comes in and then life. And as last night, God spoke, let there be light. And I'm speaking light today into your dark places. I'm speaking light by the sound of my voice and the authority given to me in Jesus. In Jesus' name, I speak life into the dark, barren places. Because God is a God that makes a way where there is no way. Amen? So just receive that by faith. Grab hold of it. And don't let go. Hang on. And then hopefully by the end of this message, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, my message today is hold fast. Now, this is a different message than I had set out to do. And that's great because God's in control. I'm not. And I was thinking one thing, and God, through his divine direction, led me to this message. Do we have the screen going on? There it is. Okay. Hold fast. I like the color too. All right. So hold fast. How many would say, and I want to see your hands, how many of you would say life can be a struggle? Life can be hard. Life can be painful. Life can have pressure. Come on, can I see your hand? For those of you that have not raised your hands, I'm like, really? Really? Okay. So I want to talk to you today about holding fast. Now, this is a term that we don't really use a lot in our culture. A lot of times we use cling or hang on to. Okay, those are synonyms. But hold fast literally means cling resolutely to God, his truths, and his promises with steadfastness and unwavering loyalty. This keeps sliding. To hold your position or fix your gaze and not lose sight of the goal. All right? Now, in botany, that makes me sound really smart, right? In botany, hold fast actually is hold fast. It's one word. Whereas hold fast biblically is to hold fast. But hold fast is actually a disc-like structure that serves to attach certain organisms or plants to a support. So hold fast does exactly what it says, is that it holds certain plants like ivy. I have ivy in my yard. I love ivy. And it clings to the wall. Like, isn't it amazing how you can have ivy and it just, it clings. It holds fast. It has little discs that hold fast to the wall. And it like, you can't hardly rip that stuff off the wall. It's there. It's like, it becomes part of the wall. Now, Jasmine also has hold fasts. These, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest, these particular varieties of jasmine do not, but I'm faking it until you make it, okay? So let's pretend they have holdfast. But here's the thing, there is a holdfast in that this trellis right here becomes the holdfast to the jasmine, because the jasmine can't grow the way it's supposed to if it's not connected to the holdfast, to the support. Does that make sense? And so a holdfast is a support. It's something that these vines are going to become so intertwined with that you will not be able to separate them from the holdfast, from the support system. You follow me? Okay, so that's a holdfast. Carice said we've been in leadership. Senior leadership for 22 years. We've been in ministry for 30 years. And in those 30 years, listen, I've had trials, I've had tribulations. When we came into the senior leadership, it was tumultuous. It was hard, it was pressure, it was confusion, it was painful, it was all these things. So I am not unfamiliar to these things. I have a lot of battle scars. We all could probably compare scars, but that's not what we do. We compare the glory of God in the midst of it, right? That's what we're supposed to do. But for some reason in the last several months, and I'm going to go back as far as maybe 7 months, maybe more, maybe a little less, give or take, but over the last 7 months, I have been in a place that I have not been familiar with. I have never experienced this place to this degree in my entire Christian walk. It was bad. I felt lost. I felt dull. I knew God loved me. That wasn't the question. But I just, there was a cloud, there was a distraction, there was so many things that, and I have adversity, I have struggles, but it wasn't anything that out of the ordinary, you know what I'm saying? It seemed to bring a fog, and I felt like I was just going through the motions. You know that song, going through the motions. I was going through the most, but I felt desolate. There was some kind of disconnect, but I didn't know what. I don't know what's wrong with me. I was having my time with the Lord, but I was disconnected. I could not figure it out. And what made matters worse, that because I was in this time, you know, when you're in these times, it's real easy to give into the flesh. I quit working out. I've gained weight. Oh. I started eating more junk. Because, you know, it's just easy to eat more chocolate. And pizza. And then you're not working out. And then you feel like bogged down because you're not eating right. And then, because I was bogged down and disconnected and in a fog, it was real easy just to stay up too late and watch TV. Nothing bad, mind you, but nothing beneficial. So this is where I have been for the last several months, and it's just like, and the enemy just, you're such a loser. You're a hypocrite. You know, you should have it together, right? He's just hitting me, and I'm like, go away. I take that captive. And then, you know, here's the thing. I'm older now. And I play pickleball. How many of you play pickleball? Oh, y'all need to get into it. Okay, well, here's the thing. All the people I play pickleball with typically are retired. They're older or my age. And so, you know, they're talking retirement, and I'm getting close to that. I'm not 40 anymore. I'm not 50 or 55. I wish I was. But I'm not. And then, you know, the ideas are thrown out there by culture, by the enemy. And let me tell you, I never ever thought about retiring from the ministry, because I personally don't believe you do. But yet, it was being floated. You know what I'm saying? And there was a part of me like, yeah, maybe I'm done. See how it's just nasty, nasty. And so I started focusing on my age and all the things I hadn't done and all the things I wanted to do and all the mistakes and the missed opportunities. And I was just kind of reveling in all of that. And one morning, now see, I kept getting up and spending time with the Lord. But most mornings, I'm going to be honest with you, most mornings I just sat there drinking my coffee and I knew he was there. And I would say, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving me. And I just love you, God. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. But Lord, I do know this. I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And I would just keep going and getting into his presence. And sometimes I would cry. And he was always there. I was never without his presence. And it wasn't like the room was filled with the glory. And, oh! But no, it was just like I knew. I sensed him, that presence that is like a whisper. And then one morning, I got my devotional out, and this is why devotionals are so important. I don't care how you feel, get in your word. Get in your devotional. So as I read my devotional of the day, I popped open, and this is what it said. Where did it go? You have lost, or no. It said, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. And as soon as I read it, I immediately heard the Holy Spirit say, you have lost your hope. Yeah. You have lost your hope. The light shined. Now the room filled. Boom. And in an instant, the fog cleared. The mountains were cast into the sea, or they melted like wax. You pick your poison. But it all just happened. And all of a sudden, it was like, you're right. I lost my hope in God's promises that led to me losing my joy, which is leading me down a path of actually losing my strength. How many of you know we need strength to finish the race that God has called us to? But we can't lose our hope. Let us hold fast. There we go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Another translation. Let us hold unswervingly. Unswervingly. Meaning straight. Don't swerve. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he promises faithful. You know what happened? I swerved. I got my focus on myself. I got my focus on the lack instead of the promise keeper and the promise. I swerved. So what do you do when you realize you swerved? You repent. Lord, forgive me. I lost my focus. I lost my hope in you, and I got my hope in circumstances. I got my hope in my age, which is failing. How many of you know it just gets older? But you don't have to give in to your age. You can be as old as you think you are. I wasn't thinking that, but now I'm on this side. I'm like, yeah. So what had happened? I slipped over from hope in God to natural hope. Natural hope is not for the believer. Natural hope does not exist in the kingdom of God. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. Listen to this. Without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Listen, we have to face the facts. The facts are I'm getting older. The facts are I've made mistakes. The facts are I've missed it at times. The facts are. But the facts are not where we place our faith. We don't hide from the facts. We don't deny the facts, but we are not moved by the facts. We place our hope in God. And as Abraham did, you know, he faced the facts. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded. Everybody say fully persuaded. That God had power to do what he had promised. Listen, some of you have promises in the Word. Everybody's got promises in the Word. God's given you promises in your spirit. And he who promised is faithful. Focus on the promise. Focus on the promise keeper. It is paramount. Everybody say paramount. Paramount. We hold fast. Say hold fast. To the promises of God and not slip on circumstances. Do not slip on circumstances. Do not focus on the circumstances. Acknowledge they're there, but don't stay there. I was staying there. Let me tell you, it doesn't work well. So, what had happened? Why? Well, Holy Spirit told me I lost my hope. What happens when we lose our hope? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. My heart had become sick. It was just sick. What does this mean? When things don't happen the way we want or dreamed, when tragedy happens, when things don't happen in the timeline that we think they should, there is a disappointment and a sense of loss. That's just the way we are wired. That's what happens. We are vulnerable. And that's when our heart can become sick. In that vulnerability, we need to make right choices. So I'm teaching you today from my mistake. So many times we get up here and we tell you our victories. I'm telling you my mistake. And I can only believe that this is an issue, not just for me. Mourning will take us one of two places. Number one, it will either take you to the comforter. Those who mourn will be comforted. Or it will take us to unbelief. We will get distracted and we'll be focused on the circumstances. And circumstances always take you to unbelief, doubt, fear. All these times of our life, we must realize what's going on. You need to realize God did not create you to be, you know, in a pit. We must take hold fast the confession of our faith and hope. That's our job. We are to take hold, cling to, grab on to the confession of our faith and hope. Who is what? Jesus Christ. His promises. Cling to and focus on the character and the promises and the Word of God. If you are not a Bible reader, I encourage you, you need to become a Bible reader. Focus on the New Testament. Old Testament's great. I love the Old Testament. But if you're new, just go straight to the New. And then, you know, you can backtrack. It's all good and it all works together. But it can be confusing if you don't know what you're doing. All right? If we don't, it opens us up spiritually to a vulnerability that is not healthy. I had opened myself up to a vulnerability. To who? The enemy. The enemy. You have an enemy. You have an adversary, the devil, that roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he was trying to get me out. He was trying to devour me. Unbelief, doubt, self-pity started growing in me like a fungus. Undealt with, it's going to grow, folks. Undealt with, it will grow like a fungus. I had a fungus among us. Because I swerved. And we got to get rid of the fungus, but there's only one way to get rid of the fungus. Amen? So I have sunflowers up here. One, because, hold fast is botany term, so like why not have all kinds of flowers and plants, right? But sunflowers are unique in that they start from a very small seed, not as small as a mustard seed, but they start small and then they grow up to 10 feet and the last, you know, the largest one recorded is 30 feet. Yeah, they can get big. Okay. And so the thing about sunflowers that I think is so unique is throughout the day, they follow the sun. They never lose track of the sun. The sun's over there. Whoa, there we go there. They're a sun follower. Another thing interesting is that every part of the sunflower is used. The petals, the leaves, of course the seeds, everything, every part of the sunflower is used. We, like the sunflower, must keep our gaze on the sun. S-O-N. And as we do, the light and shine of his glory comes upon us. And we are filled with what? Hope! And it's not just, oh, but his word. His word. Where is your hope? Where is your focus today? Let me ask you, because God asked me, Bobby, where is your hope? Where is your focus? And I'm like, I have no, not where it should be, Lord. I admit, not where it should be. Christ is faithful over all God's house as son, and we are his house if indeed we what? Hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Confidence and hope in what? Circumstances? Confidence and hope what? Circumstances? No. Wow, wake up. At least the answer was right. No. In Christ. Our hope has to be in Christ. I had to get my focus off my circumstances and back on God. Listen, our feelings are not reliable. Your feelings are not reliable, and Satan uses them to keep you down. He is constantly trying to what? Get your focus off the sun. Because he knows if he can get your focus off the sun, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, then he's got you where he wants you. And the fungus can start growing because it grows in dark, damp, dreary places. Right on. We must guard our heart. No matter what is going on, God promised he turns all things for good for those who love him. Just like the sunflower, it doesn't matter what you've missed. God's bigger than your mistakes. He's bigger than your circumstances. And I don't know when, I don't know how, because I'm not God and he is, but he will, because he promised and he is a promise keeper, that he will turn everything that's ever happened to you for good. But we must keep our focus on who? The sun. The word of God. God's word promises character, and nature is our holdfast. It's what we cling to. We must cling to that. And sometimes the wind and the waves come and they want to tear us away from the holdfast. But we are determined, because we're going to stay focused on God, who is our holdfast. We got to wrap ourselves. I was literally wrapping myself. Wrap ourselves in the promises of God. Just like this plant, without this structure, which is the holdfast, without this structure, it's limp. It's not going to grow properly. But once it is connected to what? The holdfast. Well, look what it does. It's going to grow in the right direction. It's going to grow up. It's, whoa. It's going to grow. It's going to be secure. It's going to be sound. Wrap yourself in the promises and character of God. That's your responsibility. God's not going to do it for you. That's your responsibility. So what am I saying? Have faith in God. Look to God, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look to him. And when we do, what happens? The mountains melt like wax. The problems melt like wax. We have power to cast those problems, just to chuck them. So why are you downcast? This is my translation, by the way. Psalms 42, I combined NIV and the Amplified. It's the BCV version. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you in despair? Why have you become restless and disturbed within me? Oh, I was so restless. I was so disturbed. And the answer could quickly be, well, because this happened and that happened. And and then it says, put your hope in God. Hope in God and wait expectantly and patiently for Him. Listen, there's some promises you've been given. There's some promises I've been given, and they haven't come to pass, but it doesn't mean they're not going to. It's just a timing thing. How many of you know not everything happens like McDonald's? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you what? Trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power. Oh, girls, as I started reading and meditating, it was like an air hose that, or a bicycle pump. And with each, may the God of hope, He is the God of hope. He is my hope. And like the breath of God was filling my soul. The light was coming on, and I was what? Getting strengthened. And you know what happened? My joy started coming back. I can't say over the last 7 months I've had a lot of joy, but when I got my hope in the right place, what happened by a byproduct? My joy started happening. I started getting happy. And then what? My strength. I'm like, oh, we can do it, God. Oh, age doesn't mean anything. We got this. And then today, God is so good prophetically, as I'm walking out, Joy Parsons, where are you, Joy? She's coming, I've been looking for you. I'm like, Joy! And she hugs me. And then I get done hugging her, and who's just prophetically right there? Joy Smith! Joy! Joy, joy! I got the joy! Because I got the hope! Which gives me the strength. Amen. Faith looks to the one who promises. Hope looks to the things promised. Let me say that again. Faith looks to the one who promises, and hope looks to the things promised. Now I have to say, I don't think I would have made it during this time. I really don't. Because nobody is immune to being taken out. In fact, the word of God says in the latter days, even the elect will fall away. So, I don't believe I would have made it. Number one, had I not regularly still got up, doesn't matter how I felt, I still got up and prayed and sought the Lord and got in His presence with my coffee. I still did. I had to do that. I didn't have anything to give, and I was honest. Be honest with God. But you've got to set that in your life. As believers, as kingdom's kids, this is what we do. This is part of living in the kingdom. If you want to be successful. Two, if I hadn't stayed in Christian fellowship. Listen, church is important. Home group is important. Sisters in the Lord, good sisters, some of them are just Christian by name, just don't bother. I'm serious. You got to stay in Christian fellowship. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, because you need me and I need you. I wouldn't have made it. And then three, without people praying for me. Listen, it's not like people knew, but there's people that knew. You know what I'm saying? They knew, they could tell something's not okay. And they prayed for me. And then some people said, can I pray for you? And I'm like, yeah. And they said, what? I said, I don't know. Because I didn't know. But they prayed, they interceded. And if you're not in what? The body, people aren't going to have that perception to know how to pray. You need to stay in church. You need to have your time with the Lord. And people are, whether you know it or not, they're praying for you. This is all part of the holdfast. This is all part of it. All part of it. Christian fellowship cultivates and helps our holdfast be steadfast. Only by wrapping ourselves, holding fast to God's word, and living by it can we receive the strength, power, and direction to let God accomplish His work in His time in and through us, and keep us steadfast until the end. Jesus never said troubles wouldn't come. In fact, he said they would. In fact, when he knocked Paul off of his horse and all that happened, he said, "You're going to have suffering." He didn't say, "Oh, it's going to be great, Paul." You're going to have troubles. You're going to be tempted. Things are going to happen. My encouragement to you today is hold fast. Hold fast to the faith. Hold fast to the Redeemer. Hold fast to your promises. Hold fast. In 1937, way before I was born, 200 servicemen were tied to a blimp. Remember blimps, those big balloon things? And they 200 men were holding it, and they were trying to hold it because they were all trying to pull it so they could secure it to a rod that was bored into the ground. But all of a sudden, a gust of wind came and took that blimp up and all 200 men with it. Now, some of them had the wherewithal to immediately let go. Some of them didn't. They hung on. And slowly but surely, a lot of them fell. 37 of them fell to their death. 37 out of 200 fell to their death. But one man kept hanging on. And he went up and up and up so high that he looked like a little toy soldier. And people were just like, oh no, at any moment he's surely going to fall to his death. Because you could not fall and not die. But then 15 minutes went by, 30 minutes went by, 45, 60 minutes went by. And they're all like, how is this? They're in a panic. He's going to fall, he's going to fall, he's going to fall. An hour and 45 minutes later, he's still hanging. How is that possible? Everybody's like, how is this possible? And they finally get the blimp down and everybody's in a panic and like, you know, have the ambulance, and he just gets out and he's like, I'm okay. I'm okay. And they're like amazed and like, how did you hang on that long? And this was his answer. When I realized what was happening, we got to realize, I wrapped the rope around my waist and tied it off. I wasn't holding the rope. The rope was holding me. Faith looks to the one who promises. Hope looks to the things promised. Love of God is never ending. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I never lost my love for God during this time, but really more importantly, God's love was continually hovering over me. Hallelujah. Continually hovering over me, upholding me, actually upholding me. Just like he is with you, strengthening me and helping me when I didn't even know it. Because that's the God we have. That's the God we serve. The truth is that our attempts to holding fast are going to fall short. None of us are perfect. We're going to miss it. We're going to fall short. But God's love, grace, and faithfulness in that he holds us fast. He holds on to us. The interesting thing about this story, about my testimony, is when I went back to read that devotional, you know, devotionals are lined out by the date of the day, and when I went to the date of the day, I couldn't find it. I'm like, I know I read it, but it wasn't there. And I kept looking and looking and looking. 2 months back, somehow, I believe, divinely directed by the Holy Spirit, by God's grace, love, and mercy, I made a mistake. And I didn't choose the day I thought I was choosing. I chose 2 months back, but it was divinely directed because that's the word that I needed to hear. God is bigger than you think. And he works in the small ways. God never gives up on us. Never. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Nothing separates us from the love of God. You are surrounded. You are lifted. You are infused with God's love by the Holy Spirit. But even that, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, defeated hell, defeated your enemies, who rose again on the third day and sent the Holy Spirit, he is now sitting at the right hand of the Father giving intercession for you. So not only are your brothers and sisters praying for you, but Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. Oh, that's good words. That's shouting words. It is not our strength of resolve or our remarkable ability to follow that keeps us in his grip. It's Christ. It is Christ. It is the love of God. For ministry today, we're going to take communion, because I think it's so important to keep our focus. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, you know, God delights in you. You are the joy that was set before Jesus Christ on his road to the cross. You are the joy and the delight of his heart. You are what kept him going. You are what he held fast to get him to the cross. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right. See, he conquered it for you. He conquered it. Another translation that actually I was sent this morning, I love this translation. TPT. What does that mean? Okay, the passion. It's good. All right, pay attention. This is again Hebrews 12:2. We look away from the natural realm. See, circumstances are in the natural. And we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus. Again, circumstances don't dictate our expectation. Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit do, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, right? That joy set before him. He endured the agony. Everybody say agony. Of the cross. And conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Which again, by the way, he sits interceding for you. He's praying. Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. That's amazing. We must remember the price that was paid and the value that he put on us and the hope of his calling, the hope of his glory. We must continue to seek his face and look to the Son. Be a Son follower. Be a Son follower, right? I lost my communion cup. Can you just throw at me one? We're going to take communion. And I have a question for you. Because I know how it feels, and how it feels to be in that fog and in despair and all that. We've already talked about all that. But let me ask you. If you were there standing in the crowd that day, that fateful day, watching his beaten body carry the cross, if you were there, literally there, maybe you can envision yourself, if you were there watching him, his beaten body, the nails going into his feet, and as he hung on the cross, bleeding out, your eyes locked with his, would you really say it's not enough? It is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. The Father's love is enough. God's truth is enough. We just have to hold fast. Hold fast. We're going to play a song for you in a moment. You're not going to worship to it. It's actually an old hymn. What I want you to do is just soak. I want you to listen to the lyrics. I want you to, I want you just like, yeah. And that's a form of worship, but I want you just to, you know, sunflowers, they soak in the sun. I want you to soak in the sun. And then up to you when you want to actually take communion. But you're going to break this in remembrance of Jesus Christ. He is our holdfast. And more importantly, he holds fast to you. Hold fast. Hold fast, ladies. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you hold us fast even when we lose our grip. You've clung to us and you save us. Holy Spirit, minister to each and every woman. Remind them of those dreams, those visions, those things that circumstances have stolen. And help them to get their focus back on you and your promises. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. If you need ministry, we want to definitely do that for you. Sometimes, hey, you need prayer. But I'm going to excuse the rest of you, and this is a break. There's some food out there, fellowship, and then we'll return back here in 30 minutes. Lord bless you.